Father, we come today and we're always humbled before your word. Your word is your instruction book. In your word, you tell us how to be saved. Then you tell us how to live the Christian life and how to be victorious. And we thank you for these writings of James, obviously a very practical man, but one who had a deep-seated relationship with you. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would take these words, not only today, but even in the weeks ahead, as we begin to dig a little bit into some of the things that James wrote to us about that are timeless, because they are addressed to all Christians everywhere, in every setting, and in every time. And Lord, use these things in order to build up, strengthen, and enhance our relationship with you and with each other. Take now your word and use it, bless it, add your blessing to it, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We usually have a little insert. I think today it's kind of this color, and there's some blanks there if you want to fill those in. That's just for the ones who want to do it and have a little something to take home with you. We talked about James a little bit last time. We won't say a whole lot. Half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore son of Joseph and Mary. We talked about what a practical man he is. He's not atheological. He's not totally without theology. But his book is primarily if you wanted a Christian handbook for the Christian life, just take the book of James, tear it out, and keep it with you. And you will have your handbook for the Christian life. He's very practical. James wants to know not all that highfalutin stuff. He wants to know what you're doing. He wants to know where you're at. He wants to know what your attitude is. He wants to know how you're dealing with all the daily stuff that all of us deal with as believers. And even though this is written to scattered Jewish believers of his day, who had suffered a lot of persecution and been uprooted and all that, yet the principles that are contained here apply to all of us. And we today, we live in pretty uncertain times, don't we? We live in some times, but it seems like almost everybody is dealing with something. And if they're not, somebody in their family is. It seems like almost everybody is dealing with something these days. So a book like the book of James is a very helpful tool. He gets down to the practical aspect, right? Like we used to say, where the rubber meets the road. Right down there, and it's stuff that we can really use. He became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He became the bishop of the church in Jerusalem. And this is his only writing. Not a lot of flowery language and not a whole lot of introduction. He's a guy, he's a bottom line guy. He's just going to get straight to the point. So when he gets to verse 2, he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of different kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And that is what we talked about last time. So he just jumps right in with both feet. You ever seen somebody do that? Jump in the pool, just jump right on in. He gets right into the subject matter at hand. Now, he comes in this verse here, verse 5. And first blush, you might say, well, this is a passage about wisdom. And in a way it is. And he talks more about wisdom over in chapter 3. And if you, in your own time, want to read chapter 3, verses 3 there to the end of the chapter, verse 18, he talks about two kinds of wisdom. There are two kinds of wisdom, and that's very important to know. And as believers, hopefully we're going to be looking for the godly wisdom, not the other kind. But as I read this and as I read the rest of his book, I realized to me the primary topic here is not wisdom. It is mentioned, but the primary topic here is about prayer and how to pray properly. So that's why we've titled today's message, Asking for What We Need. And he starts out in verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom." Now let's just stop right there. How many here would admit and say there have been times in my life that I didn't know what to do? Is there anybody besides me? It could have been as recent as yesterday or this morning. Or maybe the day isn't over yet. Maybe it'll be later today. And you're going to say, I don't know what to do in this situation. Sometimes it's a very, very personal thing that only has to do with us. Sometimes it has to do with extended family and things that are going on in the family. Sometimes it's something that's going on down at work. Sometimes it's something going on inside the church. And all these things. And we say to ourselves, I don't know what to do. Listen, there is nothing wrong with saying, I don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, then say, I don't know what to do. There are people that are good at bluffing. There are people that try to act like they've got everything together. There is nothing wrong with saying, I don't know what to do. When Moses had a problem out in the wilderness, as he was leading 2 or 3 million people, and the people started getting out of hand, he would look up to the Lord and he would say, Lord, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Here's the man God has used to get him out of Egypt and open the Red Sea and everything else. And yet, his own people, God's own people, were too much to handle at times. And Moses would say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But whether it's something personal, whatever it may be, that is the beginning of getting a prayer answered. And that is point number one. If you've got the thing, our first blank, steps in prayer. We acknowledge our need. That is step number one. We acknowledge our need. Unless you're coming to the Lord with a thanksgiving, with a praise, which is always appropriate and we should always do, but most prayer has to do with a need, either our own or the need of someone else, either physical, financial, relational, spiritual, whatever it may be. But prayer, most of the time, petition-type prayer begins with a need. And so I'm not going to pray until I know I have a need. One of the saddest things is to have a need and not think we have a need. Oh, I don't need that. And when we're young, especially, we're full of ourselves. Oh, I've got it all together. I know all the answers. No, I don't need any help. Am I right? Sometimes we do this. Have you ever heard anybody say, the older I get, I think the less I know? Well, that's the way that's supposed to work. Sometimes it takes us 40 years to figure out we don't know everything. But it's never too late. And it's really a wonderful day. Because when we discover we don't know everything and that we don't know all the answers, then maybe we will turn to the source of help where we can get the help and get the direction that we need. So, we acknowledge a need. Now, what else does he say? He said he should ask God. He didn't say, I'm treading on thin ice. He didn't say, ask Obama. He didn't say, ask the agency down on the corner. He didn't say, ask God. Maybe there's somebody down here that we need to ask something of too, but before you ask them, ask God. Who's in charge of everything? Who owns everything? God. Ask God. Why is it? We strain, we struggle, we discuss, we do this, we get all bent out of shape, we lay awake at night, and then when we're at the end of our rope, then we ask God. Why couldn't we just ask him up front? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier? Ask God. Maybe I'm preaching to nobody here this morning. Maybe that's not the way it is in South Norfolk or whatever, you know. But I've been places where it's that way. People are too proud to admit they have a need and too proud and go looking for answers everywhere except in the Lord. Now, you see your unsaved friends do that all the time, don't they? But the problem is a lot of Christians do that. Well, let me see if I can fix it. Let me see if I can get the answer. Let me see if I can Google it and get the answer. Let me see if my buddy over here can help me. Now, some people can help you and some people will help you, but how many have also discovered that some people can be very unreliable? And some people can make all kinds of promises, and then when the time comes for them to keep the promise, they don't keep their promise. Ask God. You've seen that ask on the computer, right? Ask. That'd be a good one. Ask God. Who gives generously to all. Now, I love that. Who gives generously to who? The select few? All. If you're a Christian, now this book is written to Christians. James assumes we're all believers. He assumes we're all forgiven and under the blood and in fellowship with the Lord. He makes that assumption because this is written to Christians. But he gives generously to all. So, if you've been serving the Lord 2 weeks, you're included. If you've been serving him 2 days, if you've been serving him 90 years, you're included. He gives generously to all without finding fault. You ever ask somebody for something and after they got done talking to you, you felt about that high? Who do you think you are asking for this? Why do you think you need that? Don't bother me right now. I'm busy. Come back later when I'm not busy. And all of this, I am glad that our Heavenly Father does not do that. He says, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. The Lord never says, get out of here. I don't want to listen to you right now. And in a real extreme attitude, if I came in the wrong attitude, he might. But not normally, and certainly not if I'm coming in good faith. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him. Some of us have this whole sense of unworthiness. Oh, I don't know. Or the devil's put a guilt trip on us. And, you're a hypocrite. You're not really a child of God or whatever. And then that we doubt God's goodness. We doubt whether we even have the right to come and ask what we want to ask. No. If you do have an outstanding issue, get it right with him, confess it, get it under the blood, and then move on and make your petition and believe God and receive your answer. But he treats us all the same, and he's good to all of us. God is good. That was a topic a while ago, wasn't it? God is good. Did you know what I was going to preach on? Be honest. Did you know? You didn't know. See? But the Lord knew. But when he asks, there is a but here, there is a condition. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. He must ask in faith and not doubt. Now this may sound harsh, but this is the plain truth. If you're not going to pray in faith, it isn't worth the time to pray at all. George Mueller, how many have heard the name George Mueller? Ran an orphanage in Britain for many, many years, and every single need was provided by him on his knees and never telling a soul what was needed. He was one of the modern heroes of faith. He was on his way to a convention by boat. I think it was in Canada. There was fog. The fog needed to lift for him to be able to get to his appointment on time. So he knelt on the deck to pray. The captain said, I'll pray with you. George Mueller said, no need, you don't believe. But isn't that what Jesus said? He said, when you ask for something, you believe that you're going to receive it. Because why wouldn't you receive it? There's only two reasons you wouldn't receive it. Either God can't do it, or he doesn't want to do it. Think about that. And it says here, not only that he can, but he wants to. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Point number two, if you want to fill in these blanks. Step two. Step one, acknowledge our need. Step two, we acknowledge both God's ability and willingness to meet that need and grant our request. We acknowledge both God's ability and willingness. It takes both. I find it interesting. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, do you believe I can do this? He asks the one that's going to be the recipient of the healing miracle. Do you believe I can do this? The leper says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I know you can, but I don't know if you want to. Jesus says, I will be clean. So step two is I acknowledge both God's ability and willingness to meet the need and grant the request. And step three, we pray in faith, fully expecting to receive. If you really believe the Lord can do it and is willing to do it, then you thank Him. After you've made the petition, you thank Him for answering your prayer. Because basically, it's a done deal. Even if the answer doesn't come immediately or is delayed for some time, it is still a done deal. Because you've done your part. You saw that there was a need. You brought the need to who? To God. You acknowledged both His ability to do it and His willingness to do it. And if some little flag's going out, well, I'm not sure He's willing, then why wouldn't He be willing? Are you in disobedience? But all things being equal, He is willing. Now, I know there are things we ask. We say, well, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I would like this. I don't know if this is what you have in mind for me. Now, that's not doubting. That is just saying, Lord, I only want this if it really is your will and if it really honors you. I have prayed that way before. And if it is the Lord's will, then He does it. I prayed one time. I said, Lord, it's been a while. I don't know. It's been years. I haven't been back to Puerto Rico. But if it would please you, just so I know I'm not going just for my own whatever, could you have somebody write me about some reason why I need to show up there? It wasn't 2 months. I get a letter, and the church down there is having an anniversary service. I was the founding pastor, and they want me to come down and be a part of it. So I go, and I go knowing that, why? I'm in the will of the Lord. But we pray with faith, expecting to receive. Now, here's the next part, and we'll move through this quickly. Reasons prayers aren't answered. And James gives us four of them. And the passages I have put next to these points, so if you don't have time right now, you can look at them later. Number one, we don't ask. That's what we were talking about a while ago. We're out here trying to solve the problem on our own. We're trying to see if somebody else can help us with the problem. And for some reason, we never get around to simply asking the Lord, Lord, would you intervene in this situation and please grant this request? So He says, many of us know this verse by heart. Some of you can complete this verse for me. You have not because you ask not. When I was in sales, they said that the number one reason sales are lost every day is because the salesman explains the product and is nice with the customer, but never actually get around to saying, can I sell this to you today? And I said, Lord, if I lose any sale, let it be for some other reason and not that reason. By your grace, I plan to ask every time. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Did He say it'll be given you even if you don't ask? That's not what He said. He said, ask. In fact, the ESV says, keep on asking. And it will be given you. Keep on seeking. and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open unto you. So, one reason we don't get prayers answered is we don't ask. Number two, we've already covered it. We don't ask in faith. We pray, but we pray a half-hearted prayer. We pray, but we have reservations. We pray, but we're not really, in the back of our mind, there's doubt and unbelief. And the Lord never honors doubt and unbelief, because doubt and unbelief dishonor Him. Why would I doubt? I'm either doubting His ability or His willingness, and both go to His character and who He is. So reason number two, and James is very plain. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. That's sad. He is a double-minded man. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. How do we build faith? Reading the Word of God. And remembering God's past faithfulness. And dwelling on who God is and on His character. Reason number three is in chapter 4 and verse 3. Reason number three we don't get prayers answered is we ask with wrong motives. You do not have because you do not ask God. Verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, the Lord isn't in the business of granting me my every little whim. We never said that. He is in the business of answering prayers and meeting what? Needs. And what do you think in God's eyes are our biggest needs? Are our biggest needs the things that we consider the biggest needs? Or are they the things like a loving heart, maybe? Would that possibly be high on His list of things we might need? A desire and hunger for Him and for His Word, could that possibly be a need, and could that be high on His list of needs? And so forth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does it say? All these things will be added unto you. And we ask for something selfishly. We ask for something because we're just going to take it and spend it and blow it. And the Lord is not in that business any more than we as parents, hopefully, are in that business. Reason number four, in chapter 5, verse 15, personal sin. Yes, personal sin will block answers to prayers. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So the two are tied here. If there are outstanding accounts, they are taken care of. He is restored spiritually at the same time that he is restored physically. And yes, husbands are told, be sure you're not rough with your wife so that your prayers will not be hindered. How many men here have ever read that? Don't be rough with your wife. Be kind. Be gentle. Be understanding. Don't be rough with your wife because your prayers can be hindered. And that's from Peter, the rock. So yes, personal sin will. And here's the last one, and it's in verse 16a of chapter 5. Unresolved issues in the body. What do you think I'm talking about when I say the body? I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the church. And he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And when there are unresolved issues in the church setting, and we don't like each other very much, and we're not getting along with each other very well, that will block the way to answered prayer, and it will affect the life of the church and the health of the church. Sometimes we live with the notion, we live with the misconception, we live with the myth that we can have wrong attitudes toward one another in the body of Christ and that it will not hurt the church as a whole. Let me tell you something this morning. There is nothing that could be further from the truth. In chapter 5 and verse 9, James says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. When we talk ill of each other in the body of Christ, we say bad things about each other, we spread rumors about each other, we make unkind statements about each other, it is no different than taking a hammer and a chisel and beginning to work on the brickwork of your home. We are members of the body of Christ. We do not exist independently of one another. There are those who say, I love my church, but there are individuals in my church that I can't stand. Let me tell you something this morning. That is an ungodly attitude. That is not an attitude that the Lord will honor. And that is an attitude that it says will bring his condemnation upon you. We are in the business of loving each other. We are in the business of building each other up and not tearing each other down. So my brother and my sister has some ways that I don't care for, or they have some points of view I don't care for. If they know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, they are my brother, and the Lord isn't going to ask me about their views, and he isn't going to ask me about some of their personal quirks I don't like. He's going to ask me if I love them. And I better be able to look him in the eye and say, yes, Lord, I love them. And no, I will not spread rumors about them, and I will not go around saying bad things about them. This tears down the body of Christ. This divides the body of Christ. This causes a weak church and a weak congregation. And this sermon comes at an opportune time because we are getting ready to enter a time of transition, and you know it. And there will be a pulpit committee selected come around January for new leadership for this church. And if there is ever a time that this church needs to be unified, if there is ever a time that this church, we need to love one another, get things settled. If we meet and we talk and nothing is resolved, the wound is still there. And if the same attitudes are still there, the wound is still there, and the church is bleeding in the meantime. Think of what you do, and think of the attitudes that you have before you go talking about your brother and your sister. And I say that in all the love of the Lord. But if we love the Lord, if we love his body, we're going to build each other up. And if there's somebody out there that we think isn't quite right, like old Jesse used to say on the Dukes of Hazzard, a half a bubble off a plum, we need to be praying for them, but not tearing them down. And that's when the healing will take place. That's what it says. Confess your sins to one another. Oh, I thought I was just supposed to confess my sins to the Lord. I don't have to confess my sins to anybody. Well, that's not what this says. Was James wrong? Therefore, confess your sins to each other. I've been wrong. I've harbored wrong attitudes toward you. I've said unkind things about you, and I repent of that. Will you forgive me so that you may be healed, so that the Lord will hear and answer your prayer? And so my prayer today would be for myself and for all of us in the body of Christ. Lord, give me love for my brother. Yes, he may have a thing or two that rubs me the wrong way. Yes, he may have a point of view I don't fully mesh with, but he's my brother. He's my brother. And I am commanded in the Word of God to love my brother, and to love my brother with my whole heart and without dissimulation. You have a need in your heart today. You have a need. Acknowledge that need. Acknowledge the Lord's ability and willingness to meet that need. And then pray in faith, expecting an answer. And then as you present your petition, you're not getting an answer. Are you asking, number one? Number two, are you asking in faith? Number three, are you asking with correct motives? Number four, is there personal sin in your life that needs to be taken care of? And number five, are there unresolved issues in the body? Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for the cleansing we have through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus has opened the way for us. That is even why we can pray today. That is why we can come and know that our prayers are heard, because we have an intercessor seated right there at your right hand. Lord, I pray today for each of us. Help us to grow in prayer. Help us to be quicker to ask you, and a little slower to ask others or to try to work it out on our own. Help us to pray in faith every time we come. And Lord, help us also, Lord, to have our motives straight when we ask for things with you. Also, Lord, know that we're not perfect. We stumble. But the only reason we would be out of fellowship is if we haven't confessed it and gotten cleansing from you for it. And then we can go on in our walk with you. Or if there are outstanding accounts with our brothers and sisters, Lord, that we would get those right, and we would be able to move on in you. I pray, Lord, for an atmosphere where we can all be confident that when we pray, we are heard. And that once we are heard, we know we have those things we have asked for. And thank you that you are a loving Heavenly Father, and that you give generously to all, and you do not scold us when we come in prayer. Thank you that we can come anytime, from anywhere, for any reason. And if we come humbly, we know we'll be received. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.